God's been so good to us and blessing us and allowing us to come together to worship Him tonight. We have just a number of visitors here with us, and we're so thankful that you can be here to enjoy the experience of praising our God together with us.
We look forward to a time as Christians when with spirit eyes we shall see that lovely promised land and look upon our Savior at last, whom the Bible promises that we shall see face to face. And it's moments like this and times like this that prepare us for that eventuality. And so that's what makes worship all the more special, as we're preparing to see our Savior and Lord in that wonderful promised land. We're thankful for the time to be together to study God's Word. This morning, we began the first of a two-part series that we'll finish now, since I get to preach Sunday afternoon. So glad for that opportunity. But we were talking this morning about Philippians chapter 2, where the Apostle Paul says to us, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." And the mind that was in Christ Jesus, the attitude that Jesus had, was the attitude of a servant. He existed in the form of God, but he didn't count that something to be grasped. Rather, it says, he emptied himself and took the form of a servant. And so we want to take the form of a servant. Certainly the very core of what it means to be a Christian is to be a servant like Christ was a servant. And what we said this morning is we need to apply that in all aspects of our lives, but particularly then in the home. And husbands need to see themselves as servants. Wives need to see themselves as servants. Jesus was a servant, and if we are Christians, we will be servants as well. We will sacrifice ourselves to do so if necessary. We want to serve others, and we want to serve in the home. Well, tonight we're going to continue along that same line and think about the roles of parents and children in the home and see how this idea of servanthood also applies to parents and children in the home. In Jesus' teaching, in Mark chapter 9, verses 35 and following, in Jesus' teaching to his disciples about being servants, it strikes me as interesting that he used a child as an illustration. An illustration of one whom they might serve, if I understand what he's saying. Read this with me, Mark chapter 9 and verse 35. He sat down and called the 12 and said to them, "If anyone desires to be first, he shall be last of all and servant of all." So he's definitely teaching about putting yourself last, humbling yourself, and servant, and serving all. So that means in every relationship, you're going to be a servant. It's not something you just do here or there, but it's something you do in life all the time with all people. You approach your relationship with everybody as though you're a servant. And to illustrate this, as I said in verse 36, he took a little child and set him in the midst of them. And when he had taken him in his arms, he said to them, "Whoever receives one of these little children in my name receives me, and whoever receives me receives not me, but him who sent me." What does he mean, he who receives a child? I think the concept is to take up, to bear the burden of, to take care of, essentially to serve. He's illustrating service. As parents in the home, then, we need to understand that we're there as servants of our children. Now, I think that we get that sort of backwards in our modern society, where we think that that means, we're supposed to spoil our children all the time and give them everything they want. And we'll see in the lesson tonight, that's exactly the opposite of what we should be doing as servants of our children. But we are there to serve our children and to sacrifice to do so. Parents serve children by providing for them the love that they so need. Titus chapter 2 and verse 4 tells us that mothers are to love their children. Some children aren't that easy to love, especially if they're teenagers. But they need your love. It might be hard to love them. You might have to lower yourself, put away your pride, make a lot of sacrifices to love you. But as a servant, that's what you need to do. Because that's what your child needs. In 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 4, Paul, of course, describes the actions of love. And he says that love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself, is not puffed up, does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked, thinks no evil, does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. Parents, if you love your children, these things will be what these actions that Paul describes here as the actions of love will be what typifies your relationship with your child. You suffer long. You are kind. You kind to your child? Do you feel like, oh, I can just treat my kid? He's just my kid. I can treat him any old way I want to. No. Not if you're a servant. You provide that child the love that he or she needs by applying these descriptors in your relationship with your child. In Proverbs chapter 13 and verse 24, we learn that love is the basis for not only the things that are described in 1 Corinthians 13, but it's also the basis for even punishment and discipline in the parent-child relationship. That passage says that he who spares his rod hates his son, but he who loves him disciplines him promptly. So love prompts discipline, prompts chastisement. And we've all had the experience. It's been talked about from pulpits many times, but most of us who are my age can certainly remember those spankings we got when we were children, where the parent says, you know, this hurts me way more than it hurts you, and I'm just doing this because I love you, and all that sort of thing, and we're thinking, sure, sure, sure. But that's the reality of it, that love disciplines a child. Love trains a child in the way that child should go. That child needs love, and you need to serve that child and provide that love in all the ways mentioned in 1 Corinthians 13 in providing discipline. We'll talk about that some more in a minute. And in so many other ways, a child needs to know that he's loved. Parents serve their children, of course, by providing their physical necessities. This is just an outgrowth of natural affection. Even the world understands that parents are responsible to provide the physical necessities for their children. Food, clothing, shelter, all of those sorts of things. And if those things are not provided, the parent is not doing his or her job. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 7, Paul uses parenting as an illustration of his relationship with the Thessalonians. And he says that we were gentle among you, just as a nursing mother cherishes her own children. Remember us talking about that word cherishes this morning, where the idea of the bird taking the little chick under its wing and keeping it warm and taking care of it, protecting it, showing love, if you will. That's what a mother does. That's what a parent does. She cherishes her own children. She provides that warmth and protection. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 14, the latter part of that passage, the Apostle Paul, again, in making a point about another thing, but here about his relationship there with the Corinthians, but still teaching us some truth about the child-parent relationship. He says that the children ought not to lay up for the parents, but the parents for the children. See, parents save for their children's college education, but children don't save for their parents' college education. Parents spend their money to provide for their children. It's not the other way around. That's what Paul's describing in that passage. And we all understand that. I can remember a discussion with my dad when I was yet a teenager, and he was trying to get me to appreciate all that he'd done for me, which was quite a bit. And he said, are you ever going to be able to pay me back? And I said, no, Dad, I'm not. But maybe I can pass it on to my children what you've done for me. And that's what the Lord wants us as parents to see. I figured it up one time. How much, and it was for a reason, I had a reason to do this, but how much money I'd spent on one of my children. I won't say who that child was, but this was for his benefit that he would know that. And it was a lot of money. I didn't even know I'd ever had that much money. But it was spent on him. When you take on the responsibility of being a parent, that means you sacrifice a lot in the way of finances, time, energy. Your hopes and your dreams for the future are really balled up in that child. And so that's what I mean by serving the child and providing their physical necessities. That doesn't mean you give them everything they want. Not at all. That same young man who I was sharing that information with, I think almost never forgave me for not buying him Nintendo when he was little. But I didn't think that that was what he needed at the time. So a lot of times, parenting means withholding things that a child might want in order to provide really the things that they need. Providing for physical necessities. And even more important than that, providing an example. Christians are to serve, of course, as good examples for everyone. 2 Corinthians 8 and verse 21, we're to provide things honorable in the sight of all men. So we should be good examples all of the time. Whether we're talking about before Christians, before our family, whoever. So certainly parents, applying that principle in the home, certainly parents should be good examples for their children. Parents model behaviors. We know that. In large part, children only say what they hear. They usually only do what they see. And what they hear and see mostly is what their parents do and say. It's vital that we might want to say some things and do some things. Maybe even that we ourselves as adults might have the right to do, but it's just not good for a child to hear us say those things or see us do those things. I don't know how many times in my life I thank God for the godly example of my parents. I never heard my daddy say a cuss word. His whole life. I never thought my mom was being unkind or unfair to anybody ever. Those are the kind of examples that children need. They need to see that in you as a parent. We need to provide those examples. Among the reasons that the children of a righteous man are blessed is that they have straight steps to follow in. Proverbs 20 and verse 7 says, "The righteous man walks in his integrity, and his children are blessed after him." And I've used this example many times, but I can still remember when we had this huge snow in Colorado, and I was still in grade school, and Dad and I got out and tried to shovel our way out of the driveway and had these huge drifts up over my head nearly, and I can still remember him walking ahead of me and me putting my feet in those footprints. So we made it through that snow. And I think about that when I think about this passage. The righteous man walks in his integrity. He walks upright. He walks straight. And the child is blessed who comes after him. Through parental example, children should learn the meaning, be shown the meaning of what love is, of what honesty means, of what courage is, patience, hard work, dedication, forgiveness, trust. How are they going to learn these things if you as a parent don't show them? And sometimes you have to sacrifice your own wants and what you'd like to do and what you feel like doing so that your children can see these things in you. Because if they don't see them in you, they're not going to see them on television. They're not going to see them at school. They may never see them if they don't see them in you. And that's what I mean when I say you have to be a servant as a parent. As a parent, you need to communicate with your child. You need to set limits for them. Carefully set limits for your children. not leaving them to, especially nowadays, their own devices. In Proverbs chapter 29 and verse 15, the text says that the rod and rebuke give wisdom, but a child left to himself brings shame to his mother. A child left to himself. There are literally many devices available to children today, and parents must not leave the children to those devices. Now, this is only one application of the principle that we're talking about, but the kind of devices I'm thinking about are, electronic devices like televisions and computers and smartphones and some sort of pad or other. A lot of devices, aren't there? And just to leave a child to those devices is to leave him to the world. Because the input of those things primarily comes from the world. Everything from knowing about what's in a movie that a child is watching, whether on television or whatever, what TV show they're watching, setting up things like channel blocking or content filtering, limiting time of exposure, all of that is parental responsibility. It takes time, it takes effort, it takes a lot of servanthood to monitor all of that as you should. Not leaving a child to themselves, to their own devices, also includes keeping tabs on your child's use of the internet, social media. Not just what they do on Facebook and Twitter, which for some children is quite a bit, but also what they might be doing in other social media. I read an article not long ago that, as it is now, about 92% of parents say that they check up on what their teenage children are doing on Facebook. And I thought that was a good sign of parenting in our country. But of course, children are always one step ahead of us when it comes to things related to electronics, computers, and the digital world. And so the report went on to say that, of course, many children have gone on to other apps and are involved in things that their parents are not aware of and are not monitoring. And so you have other things like Instagram and Vine and Snapchat, and some parents will say, well, I've heard of these Facebook and Twitter, but I don't know what these other things are. Well, most of your kids do. We had a class on this in the high school college class last quarter, and I can tell you that most of your kids know what most of these things are. Some of them are doing these things. Now, I'm not saying they're bad in and of themselves. Instagram allows you to send pictures and text also and receive it. I think I saw a news article just a day or so ago. Madonna got in trouble for using a racial slur on her Instagram account. So if Madonna's on Instagram, it can't be that good. But in any case, there's stuff on there. The companies themselves are not bad. They're trying to monitor it. Officially, they don't allow for things like pornography and bad stuff to go on there, but it seeps on there anyway. Vine is the way to share videos. Snapchat allows you to share short videos and things like that. And when you look at it, then it sort of disappears. Snapchat is used by a lot of young people who are into things like sexting, sending sexually explicit messages and pictures and things like that. And so they can send that, and it supposedly disappears after a few seconds. And therefore, there's no traceable evidence that they actually did that. But there is actually a way to trace that. And a screenshot can be taken, and that can be saved. And so there is evidence still of it sometimes. But the point is, these things are out there. They're being used by young people. If they're being used by your children, parent, you need to be on top of it. You need to be on top of it. And monitor it. Don't allow it. Whatever it takes, whatever you feel as a parent needs to be done. But you cannot leave them to their own devices. You have to be a servant. You have to be a servant. You have to be a parent. As parents, then, we're responsible by communicating all of this to our children in ways that are productive and helpful, communicating with them about what's right, how to live in this world, the dangers of these very kinds of things that we're talking about. It's very, very important that children be able to communicate with their parents and parents with children about these things. In Isaiah chapter 54 and verse 13, Isaiah says, "All your children shall be taught by the Lord, and great peace shall be to your children." I think that's a prophecy of the Messiah's kingdom. And in the Messiah's kingdom, all the children are taught by the Lord. They receive instruction from the Bible. All Scripture that's given by inspiration of God, that's profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction in righteousness. All of that is provided to children in the kingdom. It's interesting as you look at 2 Peter 3 and verse 16 about all Scripture being given by inspiration of God. You back up in the previous verse, you realize what the previous verse says. A lot of times we don't make that connection. But the previous verse says, talking to Timothy, "From childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise." From childhood, Timothy had been taught those Holy Scriptures, which were able to make him wise for salvation. Somebody was being a servant to Timothy by sharing those Scriptures with him. Somebody was being a servant to Timothy. When you go back in the Old Testament, of course, we have the instructions in Deuteronomy chapter 6. You know, talk with your children when you walk in the way, when you lie down. Write these sayings of the Lord, the Word of God. Write them on the doorposts of your house and you know, put them on your refrigerator door. I know that's not what Deuteronomy 6 is saying, but if they had refrigerator doors back then, I think it would have. Put the Scripture all over the place. Make it an integral part of living everyday life. Talk about it, share it, and talk about what it means and how to apply it. Well, I want to talk about other things. I ain't got time to talk to my kid about that. No, you need to be a servant. You need to give up what you want to do and do what needs to be done on behalf of your child. There's a beautiful passage in Psalm 78. We don't use a lot relative to this, but I think it describes the determination of parents who want to do this, who want to be servants to their children and communicate to them the wondrous ways of God. Listen to these first six verses of Psalm 78. "Give ear, O my people, to my law. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old, which we have heard and known, and our fathers have told us." We learned what we learned because our parents, many of us, had parents who were wonderful enough and servants enough to teach us, to spend time with us. And so we have learned from our parents, and that's what's being described here. And then it turns around, and in verse 4, it says, "We will not hide them from their children, telling to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and His strength and His wonderful works that He has done. For He established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which He commanded our fathers, that they should make them known to their children, that the generation to come might know them, the children who would be born, that they may arise and declare them to their children." Pass on the Word of God to your children. There's a commitment to that that's being expressed in this passage. From generation to generation, to pass on the knowledge of God, to communicate God's will. Parents need to communicate God's will to their children. They need to praise their children. Of course, in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 21, "Fathers, do not provoke your children, lest they become discouraged." And one of the ways that children become discouraged and provoked is by not knowing what's expected of them. As a parent, I can remember more than one time when that was the fault with my child. When I say that, I mean it was the fault with me. That they did wrong. They did something that was wrong because I had not told them what was expected of them. It takes a servant to do that consistently. An ever-watchful eye. A dedication to loving a child and caring about his or her welfare. We need to praise children. Children get frustrated when they do good and don't get praised. Children not only be told what to do, they need to be praised for doing it. As we talked about in the relationship between husbands and wives this morning, praise goes a long way to motivating children. Letting a child know how pleasing his good behavior is, of course, reinforces the behavior. And it's encouraging rather than discouraging. In all of these ways, parents need to communicate with their children. I want to spend just a little bit of time then thinking about how children are to serve. Children serve by honoring and obeying their parents. I skipped over a little bit of information, but basically, parents are responsible to direct their children in the way that they should go. We have that responsibility. Children are responsible to obey that direction. Let me ask teenagers, children, young people, have you ever wondered what God's like? You ever wondered what God looks like? I remember wondering that when I was a child. I wonder what God's like. I wonder what He looks like. Well, the Bible tells us that no man has seen God at any time. But the only begotten Son who is in the bosom of the Father, He has declared Him. God looks like Jesus. He looks like the individual who girded himself with a towel and washed people's feet. He looks like the man that we read about in Philippians chapter 2 who took the form of a servant. Jesus is the representation of God. He shows us what God is like. Jesus was a servant. That's what God's like. You want to be like Jesus? Children, young people, be a servant. That's what He's like. When it comes to your relationship with your parents, in Luke chapter 2 and verse 51, the text says that He went down with them, talking about Joseph and Mary, His earthly parents. He went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject to them. Jesus was subject, obedient to, put Himself under the authority of His parents. Let me ask you, do you think He cleaned His room? Do you think He did His chores? You think He helped His dad in the wood shop without being asked? You think He was happy to help out in whatever way He could? I think He was. I believe that's what that passage is indicating. Jesus was a good son, a good earthly son, a perfect earthly son. What's Jesus like? That's what He's like. He's a servant. He was a servant as a child, obeying His parents, being subject to them. That's how you can serve. Cooperate with your parents. Don't make them ask you 10 times to do something. Don't make them ask you twice. Be willing and ready and happy to serve. You know what I've observed about, I was talking this morning about in my marriage relationship, the happiest times have been when I've served, not when I've been served. But that's true. You know who unhappy children, what they look like? Unhappy children are the ones who, you know, get everything they want. They sit on the couch and don't do anything all day. They ignore their parents when the requests come for chores and to do this or that. Those are unhappy children. They're unhappy at home. They're unhappy at school. They make everybody else unhappy. You know who happy children are? those who are up and serving all the time. You can just see it. You can pick them out. You want to be happy? Be a servant. Make wise and right choices. Not only will that make you happy, it'll make your parents happy as well. Give your parents reason to rejoice. The father of the righteous will greatly rejoice. Proverbs 23:24 says, "He who begets a wise child will delight in him. Let your father and your mother be glad, and let her who bore you rejoice." And so, young people, what I'm saying is, you know, you have things you want to do. I want to have it this way. I want to go and do this. I want to, whatever it is. But your parents have things maybe that are contrary to that. Self-sacrifice means I don't do things my way. I give that up in order to do what somebody else wants. Service means I'm doing the bidding of somebody else, not what I want. That's what it means to be a servant. If you're going to be Christ-like, if you're going to be a Christian, if you've decided to make that choice in your life, service means making your parents happy first. Well, I appreciate your good attention today. And beyond that, I really hope that some of these principles get applied in your homes. I know not everybody here still has kids in the home. Not everybody here has a husband or wife living still. Some don't have husbands or wives yet. But I think sermons like this nonetheless apply to all of us. We need to know what the truth about these things is. We need to encourage one another along these lines. We need to encourage one another to be servants all the time. I need reminders of this every day. How about you? I wish somebody would just remind me about this every day. Steve, today, you be a servant. You be a servant to your family. As we ended this morning, we'll end tonight. Jesus washed feet. And he said, "If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I've given you an example that you should do as I've done to you." Is there a servant in your house? And is it you? I pray that it will be. See, Christ died, as we talked about at the beginning of the lesson this evening, this afternoon. Christ died certainly to give us that hope of promised eternity, our home in heaven. But he died for other reasons as well. He died, I think, in part to show us what servanthood is. Show us what it means to be a servant. To sacrifice oneself, and by doing that, to show us what love really is. It's only in dedicating ourselves to taking up our crosses, following him, that we learn what it means to love. We learn it through self-sacrifice. If you're willing to make that commitment in your life right now, name the name of Jesus, be baptized in water for the remission of your sins, die like he died, be buried in water, raised to walk in newness of life, to live anew, a life of self-sacrifice, a living sacrifice, we'd ask you to come while we stand and sing.